Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with our friend Ray Allen, Ray engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is a Tuesday. It's a special Tuesday, though. This is Election Day in Pima County, November 3rd, 2015. Please make sure you get out and vote. The polls will be open. Ray, thank you very much for showing us your I voted in Pima County sticker. And if you go over to the polls, you'll get a sticker just like Ray is wearing to put on and show that you exercised your franchise. We're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. And, of course, we live stream our show at kvoi.com and my website, buckmastershow.com, which has all of our podcasts, pretty much the complete archive since the first week of January 2011 when we started all of this. And so plenty of shows are up there for you 24/7 to check it out on your schedule. We've got a full hour, as usual, loaded with content. We'll get an update on the planned January 8th memorial in downtown Tucson. 20 past the hour, the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Certified financial planner Shelley Fishman joins us. Our Your Meds segment featuring the former UA College of Medicine Dean and now the creator of the Credible Meds website, Dr. Ray Woosley, will be with us. And then we're going to close out the show. Exciting things going on at Biosphere 2. They have a great campaign that they have launched. It's called What If? This is a lecture series going on every Saturday in the month of November at Biosphere 2. We'll find out more about that. Our live line number, 790-2040, welcoming you to join us in the conversation. My Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. There's still some room for folks. If you'd like to be a friend of the program, we would welcome you. And we're trying to do the Twitter thing. We've kind of cranked that up now in the last couple of weeks. That address is at Buckmaster Show. It is so hard to believe that we're approaching the fifth anniversary of the terrible day, the terrible shooting that killed six and seriously wounded 13, including Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords back on January 8th, 2011. Through many meetings with the public, government, and community leaders, survivors, and especially with the families of the lost and injured, the decision was made to build a memorial that reflects that day that our community came together. And that memorial will be in downtown at the historic Pima County Courthouse, by the courthouse, just west of it, in the renovated El Presidio Park. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show, Karen Christensen is with us. Karen is president of the January 8th Memorial Foundation, the board of directors. Karen, good to see you. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me here today, Bill.
So much has happened over the last couple of years. Fill us in on where we are in the process of putting this whole memorial up.
Well, we've really made an incredible amount of progress. And as you stated, back really months after the events took place, community leaders came together and decided we do need to have a memorial here, not just to honor the people whose lives were taken and those who were injured and survived, but also the entire Tucson community. It really made, I think, all of us proud to be in a community that came together. And the theme, of course, of that McHale Center memorial was Together We Thrive. We've adopted that as our vision because this is what we believe. That showed the Tucson coming together, being Tucson at its best. We looked at sites for the memorial all around the area and ultimately decided that really this was a civic engagement exercise. It's really appropriate today on an election day to be talking about this.
It really is.
Those were people who came to stand in line to talk to their elected representative. And so we wanted to have something that reflected that civic nature. And we were invited to consider being in El Presidio Park. And that's in fact where the memorial will be. We've put out a request for design teams to give us concepts. I had a selection panel that chose four finalists. And then last May, a final team was chosen, the Chi Select team, which is based in Los Angeles. And they now have been coming to Tucson for a series of community engagement meetings, talking to the public about what should El Presidio Park, a renovated El Presidio Park, look like, and how should that memorial fit within the context of that park?
If you can, Karen, describe what the team has come up with as far as the proportion and what will the memorial look like?
The memorial portion, there are really two pieces that the team is working on. One is renovating the park as a whole so that it's better for civic types of events, so that Tucson Meet Yourself or a chili festival or a jazz festival or just people coming together and wanting to be in a large venue, the folk festival. So how can that better be used as a civic place? And so some of the things they're talking about is perhaps rearranging some of the existing memorials into a coherent kind of sculpture garden. The memorial would be located close to the west side of the old courthouse. The concept that the designers call it is the embrace. And it's really an oval structure that would have icons that represent the individuals whose lives were taken and those who survived. There would be a living wall concept. The outside of it is gardens using native plants and rocks.
And water would be a component.
There is potential using water, and they have a whole sustainability structure where this is rainwater captured from the roofs of the city and the county buildings, and then that water being used not only for the existing fountain, which would stay and perhaps be enhanced with a splash pad, mm-hmm. something for kids, but then would also be used for a water intermittent water feature in the memorial itself.
And the team, the Chi Sillet group, they've done this kind of work before.
They were chosen in part because of their experience in doing other parks and gardens and memorials, yes.
Now, how can folks get involved? You have had two public forums. There will be a third and final forum. That's coming up this Saturday, correct?
This Saturday. We'd love people to come down. It's going to be at Fire Central, the main fire station, which is just south of the convention center there. Lots of parking available. It's right on Cushing Street at 10 o'clock in the morning until noon. Come hear the design team. They will be reflecting back comments that they've been getting from those earlier meetings and asking for people to react to some of their evolving ideas. We're talking about what kind of plant should be involved. What should the material of the memorial wall look like? Are there other enhancements to the park that need to be considered?
So in a way, we're looking at a total redesign of that space, that park.
That's the intent.
And that park is almost like Tucson's main square.
That's the intent, exactly, to make it be a central civic plaza for Tucson, a real focal place for all of downtown. And there's so much exciting things going on downtown. This would be a civic plaza that would really be at the heart of downtown and the heart of the region.
Karen Christensen is with us. We're talking about Tucson's January 8th Memorial. The museum, will there be a museum component?
It's our hope that in the interior of the old courthouse that there will be an exhibit area, someplace where we could tell the story of January 8th, have some of the stories that exist in the community around January 8th, have those be available, and have it be a place that really inspires people to continue to be civically engaged, to really be part of their community. So that would be in the interior space, yes.
When you've talked to people about the memorial, do you get mixed reaction from people about some people may say, well, I'd rather forget the day. Do you? I'm sure you get that.
Oh, absolutely. You do.
I mean, that's a natural response.
It is a natural. Can't we just forget about it?
There you go.
Right. And I think that the answer that we have is we don't want that day to stand for something that is just a tragedy. We really want it to stand for the way in which what happened that day was tragic, but the way Tucson came together afterwards was really, really exemplary. It shows the resilience of this community. And I think that for years, for probably centuries, Tucson has come together to help each other survive in a harsh climate and under adverse conditions. This is just a contemporary example of how when people come together and work together, we really are a better place.
I like to think of it as a way for moving this community forward. And rather than dwell on the past, it is a way to move forward, just as Congressman Giffords continues to amaze by moving forward.
She has moved forward herself on a personal level and certainly on a national level on an issue that she cares deeply about, and we applaud her for that.
How about the website?
Oh, if people want to, if you can come to the meeting on Saturday at the Fire Central at 10, that would be great. If you go to Tucson's Memorial.org. There are the very detailed descriptions of the plans, and you can make comments on that. And of course, you can also push the donate button, which we'd love to have people do.
And we should wrap this up, Karen Christensen, by saying the timetable is what for the project?
We are will have the final design plans announced in January. It will then go on to the more detailed development and construction plans, and we should be ready to begin construction potentially a year from now.
All right. Karen Christensen, thank you very much. Karen is the president of the January 8th Memorial Foundation Board of Directors. That meeting is coming up Saturday, 10 a.m. at the Tucson Fire Department headquarters downtown, and a chance to take a look at the design and make your voice heard on perhaps what you would like to see in the materials that are used, the vegetation that will be around the garden area. So it's a great opportunity for folks to voice their opinion.
Absolutely.
Karen,
thank you
very much.
Thank you so much, Bill.
All right. Coming up now on 12:16 on this Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show, Shelley is on the other side of the glass, about ready to come into the studio. He just gave me a thumbs up. That's always good news. That means the markets are looking good as we try to recover before the end of the year to get back fully on track on Wall Street. Buckmaster on Tuesday, back right after this.
It's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves. Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Well, Shelley Fishman is the person that I consult, and I strongly recommend our certified financial planner, Shelley, for any of your financial needs. Mr. Fishman, how are you?
I am well, Bill. How are you doing today?
Doing very well, and a big smile on Shelley's face. And why not? The market's been moving in positive territory, has kind of really erased the red ink pretty
much. Absolutely. We're actually above where we started the year.
Whoa.
On all three indexes, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
We're up over 2,100 on the S&P, and we're about 17,900, I think it is. I should check before I say
anything. We're kind of knocking at that 18,000.
Knocking at that 18,000 again, yeah.
Yeah.
It's I should check my phone here and just make sure so that I don't talk
from
memory.
No, I think it's
17,925.
There you go. So we are very close to that 18,000 mark, and Shelley's prediction for the S&P, 8 to 10.
8 to 10 for the year.
8 to 10 for the year, and 6 to 8 for the Dow.
Yeah, and maybe I backed off too soon, but let's stick with that for now.
Yeah.
The more, I think, important number, mm-hmm. because markets go up and down, and is where we're headed in terms of GDP growth for the year. We had a rotten first quarter. It was made less rotten in a revision, but it was positive, not negative. We had a very, very good second quarter, mm-hmm. and a disappointing third quarter, though there will be a revision to those numbers as well, and it'll probably go up a bit. But, you know, where does that leave the year? And I'm thinking the year would have been around 3% in GDP growth. You know, it might come in a little bit under that, and if it does, that's a little disappointing.
You know, we're less than 2 months away from a new year. Mm-hmm. Hard to believe.
It is hard to believe. Yeah.
A couple of days ago, it was like 2 months till New Year's Eve, and we've got Thanksgiving now in a couple of weeks. I often say, Shell, that the fastest 2 months of the year, November, December, seems like you hit November, and before you know it, it's January.
Yes, absolutely. The holidays and your
the
shopping.
Holidays, absolutely. You've got, you know, Christmas cards. Yes, I'm still a traditionalist. I send Christmas cards. But one thing that you need to do and put on your to-do list, along with all the other holiday stuff, is talk to your financial consultant.
You know, that's important all year long, but at the end of the year, it's massively important. And there's a couple of reasons why. First of all, your financial consultant gets very busy at the end of the year, and unless you knock on his door or her door, they might not remember to give you a call. Now, that's very important because several things have to happen. If you're over 70 and a half years old,
mm-hmm.
then you need to be taking your required minimum distribution from any IRAs or 401ks that you have.
Okay.
And if you forget to do that and the IRS catches you, that's not good.
Wow.
So that number is based upon the December 31st closing value of your IRAs and 401ks from the prior year. And the percentage that you have to take is based upon your current age, starting at age 70 and a half. But you can't forget to do that. So that's one thing you absolutely must do.
I did not know about that critical date. So you're saying 70 and a half.
70 and a half is when you – and there's some arcane little rules. The first year at age 70 and a half, you can wait till April 15th to do it. But after that, it's got to be by December 31st.
Okay.
Now, there are some other things, especially when you've had a year as volatile as this year has been. It means that if you've been adjusting your portfolio – a little bit here, a little bit there, you probably got some losses. And you've probably got some gains.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's something called harvesting, tax harvesting. Mm-hmm. If you've got some gains and some losses that occur in the same year, it might not be a bad idea to actually offset some of those gains and losses by taking profits. If you've had some losses, to offset the capital gains tax that you might have to pay on those gains. Now, that's not to say that if you've got a good investment, you should sell it. But it is to say that that strategy of becoming tax efficient in your portfolio becomes more and more possible as we get closer and closer to the end of the year.
That's called tax harvesting.
Yes, you can harvest your losses to offset gains.
Okay. All right. So another item that we should keep in mind.
Well, another item to keep in mind is just taking a look at your portfolio and making sure that movement in one part of the portfolio hasn't thrown the whole portfolio out of balance. For instance, if you're 50% in fixed income bonds and 50% in stocks, and stocks go up, as they did 2 years ago, 30%, and bonds go up 10%, then when you do the math, you're not 50-50 anymore. Okay?
Right.
So at the end of the year, that's the time to begin to reassess whether or not the 50-50 is the appropriate balance. And if you and your advisor think that it is, in fact, continuing to be the appropriate balance, then you're going to have to sell some equity and buy some fixed income to rebalance, reallocate that portfolio to where it where you have set its objective to be.
I've often likened you, Mr. Fishman, to a winemaker getting that right balance, the allocation. So critical, isn't
it? It's the tasting, Bill. It's the tasting.
50-50 on bonds and stocks. What is the right allocation?
Well, it depends on your age and your risk tolerance and the time frames.
How about our friend Ray Allen here, our producer, the fine young man?
Okay, he's 12, right?
Yeah, no. No, Ray is not yet 30, right? No, he's not yet 30. He's 29 years old.
Well, assuming
he's a smart guy who wants to do the right thing investment-wise.
Right. So the good news and the bad news is that Ray has 7 or 8 recessions left in him.
Okay.
Which means that he can be really, really aggressive. Leave it there, not watch it every day, make sure that it's as aggressive as he can stand it to be, because over time, a risky portfolio, by risky I mean with a good balance of equities, balance between domestic and international, you know, in the 70 or 80% equities and maybe 20% fixed income is going to outperform anything else that he can do over the next, what do you have, 80 or 90 years?
Yeah,
to
he's
retirement.
Got 80 more. You know, should he be in some bonds as
he
well?
He should be in some.
Okay.
There needs to be some stability, but by and large, by the way, there's a typically very easy way for a guy Ray's age to do that. You calculate when you think you want to retire, the year.
In Ray's case,
in
never.
In Ray's case,
never,
well, okay, no, let's say.
He likes to work.
Let's say 30 years from now.
Okay.
So that would be 2045.
Yeah, 60.
Okay, and you buy a fund in your retirement plans or, mm-hmm. or in your investment that has the number 2045 as its objective mm-hmm. for when it would be forecasting you to retire.
Mm-hmm.
So today, that fund will be balanced by its managers mm-hmm. in a very aggressive way.
Yeah.
As we get closer and closer to 2045 and raise retirement, mm-hmm. that fund will become more and more progressively conservative in its allocations, and Ray doesn't have to worry about it does it automatically.
All right, that's why we consult a certified financial planner like Shelley for great information like that.
The problem, of course, with that is that when you do it, you don't need me.
Oh, well, no, we have needs for you, Shelley, for other things. All right, Shelley Fishman, where do we get a hold of you?
On buckmastershow.com, and hit the hyperlink to me, and I answer the phone, and we make an appointment and sit down and make everybody rich.
Thank you, Shelley. Have a great week.
You too, Pat.
All right.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman from 5-Star Termite and Pest Control. You got bugs? They driving you up the wall? I'm telling you, you will not be sorry. You call my friend Shelby Hawkins at 886-0045. They are more than competent. They're very economical. And check this out. They're friendly to our environment. 886-0045.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective, featuring regional, national, and international news, local opinion, and views from top national columnists, business and technology news, auto reviews, books, and the box office, plus sports and a look back at the Old West. The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. What if you could see tomorrow? Now at Biosphere 2, every Saturday, visitors will see and participate in our new interactive series given by elite presenters on what-if questions about life on our planet and the amazing universe. The 2015 International Year of Soils spotlights our November topics included as part of regular tour admission. Join as a Biosphere 2 member and have access to all weekly events in the series running through spring 2016. These special Saturday events from noon to 2 are a unique way for all visitors to interact and engage directly with scientists at the world's largest living environmental research center. Presenters change on a weekly basis, so check our website at biosphere2.org. Asking and doing the big what-if questions is what Biosphere 2 is all about. One of the must-see wonders of the world, with tours daily, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2, just north of Tucson.
Discipline and drive aren't on the shelf at the corner store. They're a part of who you are and the business you're building. We get it. That's why Cox Business and Inc. magazine invite you to attend Get Started Tucson. Join us for this free one-day live event Thursday, November 5th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Scottish Rite Cathedral in Tucson. This is your chance to network with other innovators and entrepreneurs, to learn from experts on how to secure funding, and to watch contest finalists pitch their big idea for a prize package worth thousands. Visit coxblue.com/getstartedtucson to reserve your spot. It's free to attend, with complimentary drinks and hors d'oeuvres. Don't miss Get Started Tucson, presented by Cox Business and Inc. magazine. It's Thursday, November 5th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Scottish Rite Cathedral in Tucson. RSVP today at coxblue.com/getstartedtucson.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster here with you, along with our fine producer, Ray Allen, on the other side of the glass. Ray, this is a perfect time. This weather, all the rain has made the Gila National Wilderness over in Silver City in Grant County just a beautiful destination. It's a mile-high elevation. That means you're going to have really pleasant days and nice, cool nights. So if you want to go camping over there, a visit to Silver City is just 3 hours east of Tucson. So much to do. You can do the hiking. You can visit the Cliff Dwellings National Monument. It's world famous. Great places to stay. Pinos Altos Cabins in the little town of Pinos Altos, just north of Silver City. It's a great fall getaway. You can find out about the things to do and places to stay at southwestnewmexico.org. It's time for our Your Meds segment, how to take control of your health care, something we do every month with Dr. Ray Woosley. Dr. Woosley, former UA College of Medicine dean. He's founder and president emeritus of the very successful Tucson-based Critical Path Institute, known as CPATH, which just celebrated their 10-year anniversary, right?
They
right?
did. Yeah. It was a
great event.
Great event here, and they had another one in D.C.
Wow.
And the Congress supporters came out, and the pharmaceutical companies came to say they really are pleased with working with CPATH.
Moving these pharmaceuticals that some people that are critically ill need in a timely fashion, and that's what CPATH is kind of bottom-lined about, right?
Exactly. Taking on some horrible diseases like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and doing it globally. The World Health Organization just asked CPATH to set up the entire world's database on what's known about TB.
Wow. So, about tuberculosis?
Indeed.
Wow. Okay. Dr. Woosley's latest creation, he is always busy with something, and what he's been busy with has been very successful. Again, everything Ray touches turns to gold. No.
Well,
I'm not.
Maybe not.
Am I stretching that a little?
You're stretching it
all right,
a lot,
anyway.
Bill.
Credible Meds.
We'll talk about the good news here.
All right. Credible Meds website. Credible Meds is one of the world's most trusted sources of information of medicine. Ray says I'm being too generous with the compliments today. But anyway, Credible Meds doing wonderful things. You can type in the pharmaceutical that you are interested in, and you get a whole wealth of information.
You do, and it's credible information. It's information that, you know, you were joking. CPATH, I'm so proud of. EasyCert and Credible Meds, likewise, because they've been very well received, and it's because of what I think is the trustedness of them. CPATH had to be trusted. Credible Meds doesn't take any funding from anybody that has a financial bone in this fight, and none of the drug companies support Credible Meds. None of the insurance companies support Credible Meds.
So if somebody wanted to write you a big check to Credible Meds and you thought, I'm not so sure about this, you're not going to take the big check.
Absolutely. We only take funds from peer-reviewed grants and foundations that don't have any stake in this other than wanting people to know more about their medicines.
Well, I saw this article on the BBC website, and I thought about you, and I thought this would be an outstanding topic to discuss. Why are placebos getting more effective? And placebo effect, I find the whole thing so interesting, Dr. Woosley, about, placebos are more likely to work on certain people, aren't they?
That's right. It's an amazing phenomenon. You can't talk about medicines without talking about the placebo, because that's what makes it tough to know if the medicines are working or not. And in drug research, all research today has to have a placebo, so you'll know whether the medicine's really working or not. And it's gotten complex because, as this article points out that you found, You know, we used to say that about 10-20% of people would just get better anyway, and you need to have a placebo to know how many times that happens. Now we've seen over the last 15-20 years, the placebo response in the U.S. has gotten better and better. It's up to like 30% or more.
How do you figure that?
Well, there's some theories. I have my own. But,
okay. What is it?
A lot of people think it's because of the trials, the way they're being done. The patients in the U.S. trials get more attention. Mm-hmm. They get more stroking encouragement, and patients want to respond, and they want to
do, oh, they want to please.
Exactly. And that's what the, you know, placebo is Latin for I will please.
Oh.
So the patients are being encouraged to be in the trial and stay in the trial, and indirectly they want to help you by being responsive to the medicine. And that's probably a big part of it. I think another part, Bill, is the culture we're living in the U.S. You know, we're one of only two countries in the world that allow direct-to-consumer ads.
Oh, okay.
So you see it on TV.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Medicines are great.
Ask your doctor. How many times do we see that in all of those commercials?
Exactly. So I think that is a big part of this, that our culture expects medicines to be good for you, and the TV tells us so. So I think that's driving a lot of the placebo response. Now, the placebo response is real. I mean, you're not going to get a placebo response if you have cancer.
Okay.
But if your mind is involved, there are studies that show that the brain centers for pleasure actually light up when some people take a pill because they've been programmed to think the pill is going to be good for them. Others?
Yeah, like a case, well, you said like cancer, that's not really in the ballgame here. But say somebody's having like some muscle aches or even knee pain, hip pain, minor stuff, that, and they're told, hey, take this pill. It should really help your pain.
That's what doctors learn in medical school. Encourage patients to anticipate benefit, and many times they will. And that's human nature. You know, the other side also exists. Okay. You can program people and find people that will be programmed to experience harm. There's something called the nocebo effect, where if you're given a long list of side effects, some of those people will have those side effects because you've been programmed to expect them. That's their nature, to expect harm.
Well, and like if they read, you know, you see with these prescriptions, there's like in the real fine print, you know, this could cause stomach upset. And if people really get into that and think, hey, my stomach's a little upset.
Yeah, now that you mention it, I'm
having
that.
Yeah, now that you mention it. So placebos are less likely to work even if packaging even comes into play here.
Oh, it does. I mean, people have shown that a shoddy looking little gray pill, no matter what's in it, won't work very often. But a fancy-looking, smooth, scored pill with a nice logo on it in a plastic pop-out package, much more likely to work. And that makes, you know, it's become tough for the pharmaceutical companies to beat placebo. They've got to have a drug that works more than 40% of the time and be able to show that. And
so if the product is not attractive, what about cost?
Oh, that's fascinating. People have shown that if you have a product, two products, and you tell the subject that one's very cheap and one's very expensive, the very expensive one is the one they buy. And you know, you do this yourself in the grocery store. You see the higher priced can of soup or something, and then they've got the cheap generic Safeway brand.
This is all natural with it's all organic, and it's going to cost you more, but you think, oh, it's going to be much more healthy.
Gotta be.
And so the word of mouth, probably somebody you trust might say, well, oh, that I tried that and it didn't work. Maybe that placebo would go against you that way.
Exactly. And that comes at the trust issue. You know, it could maybe your doctor, or maybe it's just your best friend who had a great response to a medicine and you trust them, you're more likely to respond. If somebody you don't like tells you to take something, you're less likely to respond to it. The mind is a powerful part of our response to medicines and life in general. But when you're talking about your health, doctors often use the placebo effect by patting you on the back and encouraging you to take the medicine, and it will help you. And that's good. But you've got to recognize that there are some things that the doctor can't make you respond
right.
to.
Right.
And dietary supplements are the one I always come back to.
Yeah.
They get about a 30% response rate, and yeah. the research has shown that it's almost always placebo.
Yeah, I know you're not a big fan of the dietary supplements. But, you know, one other thing, when the doctor, he pats you on the back, and have you noticed that when you go to the doctor and they'll say, "You're looking really good." They don't want to, you know, you walk into that makes you feel good. And maybe
exactly.
there's kind of a placebo right there. I mean, you don't want your doctor when you walk in and say, well, what brings you here today? You look really bad.
Right.
I mean, it's not a good way to start the visit.
No, you want a yeah. positive environment.
Yeah.
But, you know, Bill, there's two things I want to emphasize. Placebo effect can be harmful.
Okay.
One thing is placebo costs money. And you can, you know, when people are on a fixed income, their medicines are already costing them a fortune. They can't buy their groceries. Paying for a pill that's not going to do more than my mind can isn't good.
No.
And a placebo can keep you from going out and finding something that could be very effective.
All right.
So recognize those. I encourage everybody to think about your medicines and your response to them. And you can help them work, but you can also recognize things that aren't working.
CredibleMeds.org, the place to find out about what you are taking, your real prescription medication, not the placebos. Dr. Woosley, good to see you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, we'll be right back. Exciting things going on up at Biosphere 2. We want to tell you all about it next on Buckmaster.
Financial Whiz Kid here with some tax advice for you. This year, you can make a charitable gift to Christian Family Care and help provide safe foster homes and caring parents for kids who really need them. The Arizona Foster Care Tax Credit lets you donate hundreds of dollars to this worthy cause and take a state tax credit for all of it, so there is no expense to you. And chances are, you can claim it on your federal taxes too. It's so simple, even a kid can do it. To learn more, visit fostercarecredit.org. That's fostercarecredit.org.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by the UA College of Science. With nearly 7,500 undergraduate and graduate students, the UA College of Science brings together globally prominent faculty in disciplines at the core of scientific inquiry and education. Find out more at cos.arizona.edu. UA Science and Innovation, a place of discovery, and another place of discovery, a place that is going to be showcasing the wonderful talent at the UA College of Science, is Biosphere 2. And joining us, Dr. Kevin Bonine, Director of Education and Outreach at Biosphere 2. He is Director of Outreach Initiatives also at the UA College of Science. Kevin, good to see you.
Thanks so much, Bill. Always great to be here.
This is such an exciting campaign that's been launched. It's called a What If Series, and these are really Saturday special events each Saturday in November. But let's take a step back. What are we talking about with this What If campaign?
Well, let's take a step back and think about Biosphere 2 and its mission is to do cutting-edge research and then also get that information and the relevance of the science in front of the public. We have about 100,000 visitors, and we have so much great talent on the University of Arizona campus that a lot of people don't really see. So we're trying to connect those two things and get the best science that's happening on the U of A campus in front of our visitors during our peak visitation each Saturday at Biosphere 2.
How will it work, Kevin? The lectures, the interaction with these world-class scientists will be part of admission to the Biosphere 2.
That's exactly right. It's included in the normal admission price, and it's not really a lecture. We have our College of Science lecture series in the evenings in the spring, which works really, really well on campus. And we've tried having speakers come out and give a talk at Biosphere 2, but that's not what our visitors are interested in. So we're going to give them a short 5-minute sort of TED Talk type of overview, and then they take their tour, and then they come back and have hands-on informal interactions with these visiting scientists and their research and their students and colleagues.
Yeah, lecture isn't the right word, but I think that the correct word would be more of interaction, because that's really what we're going to have here. So they get a kind of a brief overview. This is what you're going to see when you take the tour of Biosphere 2. Then you come back. Then everybody's got a million questions, I'm sure.
That's right. And so the researchers that come up and present on Saturdays, at least for November, we're really focusing on the earth science, soil and water research that we do at Biosphere 2 that can be done there and at a scale that can't be done anywhere else. But as we move forward, for example, in December, we're going to focus on space exploration. So it's not necessarily science that's happening at Biosphere 2, but it puts all the science in a similar context. And like you said, gets visitors in front of our scientists in an informal way where they can ask questions, not be intimidated, but really learn about what these scientists do and what kind of people they are and what drives them.
The interaction where they meet the scientists will happen at high noon on the Saturdays, correct?
That's right.
It starts?
We're shooting for a window from about noon to 2. where the visiting scientists will give their short overview of why their research is so interesting and important, and then they're available during that same time window to visit with folks informally and, like I said, have demonstrations and other ways for the visitors to engage in a meaningful way.
Let's talk about the lineup for November. You've got some world-class scientists, and 2015, Kevin, is, as you know, the International Year of Soils, S-O-I-L-S, like the soil of the earth. And it's also the International Year of Light. So soil and light is kind of a wonderful intersection of what Biosphere 2 is about.
That's exactly right. You need the nutrients, you need the soil, and you need the light for the vegetation that drives the biosphere that we live in on Earth, as well as Biosphere 2. And the International Year of Soil ties in very nicely with the research we do with our Landscape Evolution Observatory. And our first visitor for November 7th, is Dr. Peter Troke. He's a world-renowned hydrologist, and he will be talking about the work that he does, looking at water, how it moves through the soil, how it interacts with the atmosphere. And these issues are critical for understanding water availability for all of us in the arid Southwest as climate changes.
Don't ever take soil for granted, and a lot of people probably do, but one of the next interaction topic will be November 14th. The soil holds secrets, doesn't it, Kevin?
It holds all kinds of secrets that most people don't think about, from the microbes to the chemical weathering to the nutrients that it holds. And so we have a number of folks that work on very interesting aspects of this. And like you said, soil doesn't have a great reputation in the public community, right? It's something that's just kind
taken
of
taken for granted, flies under the radar screen, whatever.
But it's critically important. If you think about an organization that raises money for the environment, you think about World Wildlife Fund and their panda bears. Mm-hmm. But the world would be okay without panda bears, you know, not as pretty, mm-hmm. but without soil, we'd all be in real big trouble.
And on November 21st, Saturday the 21st, a world-renowned microbiologist will be joining the team.
That's right. Dr. Sengupta is a specialist in microbiology, especially of the soil. So she's going to show us what's living in the soil, why it's so important, and how it contributes to ecosystem function and processes that we take for granted every day.
And then November 28th, really understanding erosion. Erosion is a huge issue on the surface of the planet.
That's right. So Antonio Mira is one of the folks working with our Landscape Evolution and U of A research teams, and he's talking about the various physical and hydrological processes that contribute to erosion. And like you said, it's extremely important, especially when you think about agriculture and food production and those sorts of things.
What are some of the most common questions, Dr. Bonine, Kevin, that you receive? You interact with people who come to visit Biosphere 2 from all over the world. And I was just, as we were talking here, it came to me, what are some of the most common questions that you get from your visitors?
Well, the questions really, they span a broad range, you know, from why do we spend money on science to what did those eight biospherians really do in there in the early 1990s? We're excited with sort of the confluence of things coming up right now. We have the Martian movie, which really highlights the need for understanding how we might produce ecosystems in space, for example. And Biosphere 2 was trying to do this, you know, 25, 30 years ago. Next year will be the 25th anniversary of those eight biospherians going inside.
25 years already.
And it's also the same month, that we are going to launch OSIRIS-REx and go out and sample an asteroid and bring it back. And that's a multi-billion dollar project that's being led by researchers at the U of A. So all this stuff intersects very nicely, and Biosphere 2 is still an iconic beacon for doing cutting-edge research and asking those big what-if questions.
Well, I'm sure one of the what-if questions would be how the Biosphere 2 was actually constructed. And as you say, 25 years since the biospherians really went into the structure. I'm curious, how long did it take to build Biosphere 2?
Well, that's a great question. It was actually built extremely quickly, about 4 years.
Wow.
Which is amazing for what it is. But there were decades of thinking and planning that happened prior to that with a bunch of really smart people trying to figure out how can we try this experiment of making a 3-acre closed system separate from Biosphere 1, our Earth. Let's call it Biosphere 2, and let's see how it works and see if we can keep people alive.
Try to clean the glass on Biosphere 2. That must be an interesting question, too.
That's a fair bit of work and a pricey endeavor.
Yeah, and it's done periodically, I guess.
Huh? We do it on occasion, not only just because we want it to look nice, but because the amount of light that comes in for the vegetation is compromised by dirty windows. So there's all these things that you don't necessarily think about going into it, but are important for getting these ecosystems to function appropriately.
Where can we find out more about the series?
Biosphere2.org. There's lots of information on our website. That's a great place to go for information about November's lineup and future lineups.
Kevin, always good to see you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, coming up this afternoon, our local talk continues for Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw. Then we do now, what are we doing? Four hours in the morning. That's right, 6 to 8, Chris and Joe. Daily Double with Christy Simone and a guest host from 8 to 9. And then Sean McCluskey, his new show, from 9 to 10, and then I'll be back to kind of anchor the whole thing right at midday on the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of my producer, Ray Allen, I am Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.